Grace to you and peace from God the Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text is written in the first chapter of the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, the 21st verse. For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. Don't be a fool. That sounds like a line out of a pure melodrama or a soap opera. Don't be a fool. And yet, no matter how corny the context in which we might hear it, it is a sentiment with which most of us agree. Who wants to be taken for a fool? Don't be a fool. And yet that is precisely my invitation to you this day. To be a fool. To be a fool for Christ. To be engaged in the foolishness of what we preach, and to be engaged in the foolish activity of preaching. Yes, indeed, be a fool. Now we have to note that, in the words of Holy Scripture, this judgment on us and our activity and our message is not God. But that is what the world in its wisdom says about God's plan for bringing people back to himself. The world calls it folly, and it is foolish to do it, and those who do it are fools. That's because the natural man, the unspiritual man, does not know the things of the Spirit of God because they are indeed foolishness to him. So St. Paul describes man as bent on his own wisdom, tickling his intellectual fancy with flights of rhetoric and logic and precision of expression and all the other things for which you can read the Greek poets as they take on those who seek wisdom. The Paul says the world by wisdom, by its approach and by its fancy, did not find him. It did not know him. And so it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save those who believe. The foolishness of preaching is, first of all, the content of the message that is preached. The folly of what we preach. The absurdity of the message entrusted to human beings. It doesn't make sense to say we preach Christ crucified. You see, we've heard that so often, we think it makes sense. We think it's a perfectly logical conclusion. And we have to kind of jump out of our own theological skins and remember that that's an absurdity to natural man. Some months ago, Madeline Murray O'Hare and Robert Sauer were involved in an exchange of wit, and I think that's said with apologies to Dr. Sauer, on one of the Saturday afternoon talk shows on television. Dr. Sauer made the point that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, and Mrs. O'Hare, in her normal quiet manner, said, "That's the best thing I have ever heard." Why, that makes absolutely no sense. well, I wouldn't let my son die for you. And she didn't get it all when Dr. Sowers said, obviously. But you see how absurd that is. How dumb that is. Now, if you don't think the crucifixion for your sins is done, look in the mirror. No. For a righteous man, one might even dare to die. But then look at that physiognomy staring back at you and remember, but Christ died for that, for me, for you. That's absurd. That God commended his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the foolish method, the folly of what we preach, by which God does his work. For since man by wisdom did not know God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save those who believe. By that message of Jesus Christ and him crucified, God carries out his rescue operation and gives us hope. So being a fool involves you in the message of the crucifixion. There's a second aspect to being a fool that can come out of that text. That is that the activity of preaching is foolishness. Just imagine for a moment the scene in heaven. It is the day after the ascension. Jesus Christ has been crucified and buried and raised and healed and ascended. And now the discussion goes on, what comes next? And the answer is, repentance and remission of sins is to be preached in his name to the ends of the earth. And can't you imagine for a moment a few angels sitting back saying, kidding. Please? Oh, come on. Surely, Lord, you have another plan. You have an alternate. But it should be sweet. The foolishness of preaching. But that's how you're going to do your work. Or supposing a committee were to investigate what goes on this campus. Most people don't know what goes on in the seminary anyway, so it would be an enlightening experience. And so they visited a class in homiletics, and then they went to one in exegesis, and one in systematics, and to find out what it all meant, they went to one in historical theology. And then they met with the board, and they said, what are you doing here? And they said, we're training men to turn the world upside down. Have you ever heard of anything more ludicrous? I mean, a cataclysmic event, yeah. Some celestial pyrotechnic, amen. Something like the late great planet Earth we could buy. But this truth, these people, ordinary, humble, not so bright, brilliant people, you're going to take that message of life and salvation and entrust it to preaching? Yeah, says God. Yes. For since, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom did not know God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save those who believe. And that brethren is our calling. Not to esteem, not to the world's applause, not to praise, not to glory, but to be a fool for Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. but of Christ.